Calvary Chapel in Los Alamos.
I found one option, Calvary Chapel on Canyon Road. Does that one sound good?
Yes.
Perfect. Would you like me to get directions?
Yes.
Getting directions to Calvary Chapel.
Well, I guess I'm here.
Starting route to Calvary Chapel. Head west on North Mesa Road.
Hey, Siri.
I'm here.
I'm here, too.
Be it ever.
Y'all so silly. I've lived long enough to go from here to here. This is a dime. Anybody know what this dime might have been for back there 100 years ago? Payphone. 4 feet by 4 feet. And in my neighborhood, there was a line. Hello? There was a line, and the biggest and the baddest person got to stay on the phone the longest, right? And in my house, there was how many phones? And it had what attached to it? A party line or a 100-foot cord. So they would know where you're at. They wouldn't ask you where the kids are. They ask you, just follow the cord, right? Are you on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow the cord. We've gone from that to this. My phone talks back to me. And I'm not going to get in a fight with anybody who has a flip phone, okay? All right? Keep it as long as you can. I mean, stay in there and hope that Jesus comes back before you have to get a smartphone. Amen, amen. Because you will find out that you're not as smart as this phone. If I had to continue talking to Siri, she would have told me some stuff. And guess what? It's only been 3 months since I've talked to Siri. I didn't know that I could talk to my phone. I knew I could talk to my phone because I saw the little microphone there. And I could give it notes and stuff, but I didn't know. Let me turn this off because Siri's listening. She came back. She might say some stuff that I don't want to say in church. So if you're afraid that Big Brother is listening to you, it's too late. Y'all just have to depend on Jesus. I want to talk to you today about navigating, the art of navigating. Next week, we're going to start a series on Sunday night about discipling and how to disciple, how to share your faith, how to share your faith. So my assumption is that I'm in a room full of Christians. They know who Jesus is. They know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You need Jesus. Do you want to repent right now? All you need to do is believe. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. All right, I'm done with you. Go and prosper. Be in good health. See you next Sunday. Want to go a little beyond that. Want to go into navigating discipleship. Discipleship would be the fact that you spend time with somebody in the scripture, helping them to understand what God is calling to them to do out of his word, not out of your opinion, not out of your culture, not out of your political situation, but out of God's word. And walking with them in a relationship, an intentional relationship, till we all come into the full knowledge of the gospel and into maturity. Now, I don't like that word because I'm old now. Yeah. So maturity. So in the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about maturing the saints. And guess who the saints are? Put your hand over your heart. It's you. I'm sorry. It's you. Well, Pastor, shouldn't you be discipling people? Yeah, I do it all the time. I'm sucked into discipling people all the time throughout my life. And one of my specialties is discipling kids. Domino's Pizza, dine-in, carry-out. Kids, generations of kids. And kids will teach you a whole lot. They'll teach you what's going on in the culture. They'll teach you how to teach them. There are some teenagers downstairs doing children's church. And I gave them some instructions. If you have a pen and you want to write, please take it out. And if you don't have a pen or eyebrow pencil or lipstick or something, pretend like you're writing. Okay? If you don't want to write, pretend like you're writing. You got it? Say, I got it. All right. First thing is 5 minutes. Write down 5 minutes. Next to that, getting to know you. 10 minutes. This is the next line. Memory verse and lesson of the day. Next line, 10 minutes. Video or song. Next line, 10 minutes. Craft or coloring. Next line, I am, slow down, Floyd. The last one was 10 minutes, craft or coloring. The next one, which is the last one, 10 minutes, inside or outside game. How many minutes is that? 45 minutes. That's the time that usually somebody stands up here and puts you to sleep. But that is also the time it takes to teach children's church. I have just given you an agenda for children's church. You've just been suckered into not ever telling me that I don't know what to do for children's church. I'm sorry, I apologize. It was not full disclosure. But at this point in my life, I just don't care. So I've told you the agenda for children's church. I have not trained you for children's church. I have not discipled you for children's church because those things are intentional and they take a one-on-one situation. You could take this paper and go downstairs and those kids would have a ball with you. If you don't have the heart or the intent to disciple them, to intentionally put the word of God in them. So in 45 minutes, whether it's two that I know or 10 that just show up, I have to be able to do this. And I have to kind of go case by case to summarize each child, because each child is different, and they come with a different attitude. And I have to be intentional for 45 minutes downstairs and hope that they can't hear me through that vent as I try to make them sit down, shut up, turn around, touch the sky, sing a song, color in the lines, whatever it is. But that is what I am called to do, to make disciples, and I get to be at the starting line to do that. Imagine me doing this with somebody who's 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever, 100. That takes some time. So discipleship is intentional. You don't have to answer this question, but you have to ask yourself this question. Are you being discipled or are you discipling someone? Because that's the reason why we're here today. Because Jesus had 12 dudes that he hung around with for 13 is this. I want you today to pretend in your sanctified imagination to be the 13th disciple. You are the disciple on call in case one of these mess up. And I'm betting on Peter. Okay? In case Peter messes up, you are the 13th disciple. Because a lot of times we don't see ourselves as the 13th disciple. We want to read about John and James and Thaddeus and everybody else, but we don't see ourselves in the scripture. We don't see Jesus talking to us and challenging us to follow him. Follow me. It was a simple invitation. And I don't know what you would do if somebody walked up to you today and say, follow me. You'd probably mace them. Or some of you Second Amendment people would shoot them. Right? Y'all lying in church. Somebody say, follow you. No, I need a resume. I need this. And I got 9-1 already dialed. All I have to do is hit the one. So if you can imagine yourself as the 13th disciple that Jesus came up to you and he said, follow me. And you said, okay, but I'm going to hang back. Okay? Because you got these 12 and I'm claustrophobic and I'm looking at them and they smell like fish and stuff. I'm allergic to fish. I'm just going to hang back, Jesus, okay? But if you need me, I got your back. I got your back. And I'm going to learn everything that you're teaching them. Because that's how we disciple. Jesus talked to his disciples. Do you remember last week I asked you, do you talk? Do you talk? Do you talk? Well, that's the beginning of discipleship. And I know you talk because I hear you. You talk a whole lot. Okay? And so do I when I have to. I am what they call an introvert. You can't tell because I've been trained to be it. Okay, there you go. We're on the same page. I'll write your scripture for today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 20th verse. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 20th verse. It's going to be one verse that we're going to look at, and then we're going to look at the life of Paul, the unlikely disciple, or Saul, the unlikely disciple. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your word today. Let it cut between the bone and the marrow of our life, causing us to be the men and women that you would have us to be. Because we know that is how the church has come to this point, by people discipling each other and telling them about Jesus, cause us to have that burden in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 20th verse says this, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be what? Y'all afraid of the word? Or do you have something else in your Bible? I'm going to do that again. That was get set, get ready, and then we're going to go, okay? I'm going to do it again. And then on the last word, you said real loud, okay? Let's see. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be?
Mature.
Wow. Quit acting so childish. My goodness, act your age. Anybody ever heard that? I heard it too much. Okay. Understanding so you can be mature. Understand so you can stand. Oh, that was easy. God, do you all do any search puzzles or anything like that? Understand so you can stand. Wow. I'm going to do it one more time. The answer is in the first part, okay? Understand so you can stand. Yeah. Understand so you can stand under. Well, let me say it again. Understand so you can stand under. When you understand something, you can stand under it. Wow, that's deep, isn't it? For $49.95, I will repeat that for an hour and give you a CD. Okay. Understand so you can stand under. What is the church facing today? It's facing the fact that people seem not to understand Christianity. And the believer is not understanding Christianity, so they can't stand under the scrutiny of the unbeliever. Y'all got that? Was that too deep? I'm not telling you to go to seminary and sell everything. I'm telling you just to crack the book and understand some things until you can stand under the scrutiny of the unbeliever and life. Do you know when you get a hold of the word of God that you can get through some things? Anybody ever done that? Anybody in here ever done that? Oh, okay. The word of God has taken you through because you've seen it be real in your life. You've asked God for healing according to his word, and guess what? You got healed. You ask God to maybe fix your finances or help you fix your finances, and he did. You looked at the scripture where it tells you not to eat all your seed, and you didn't, and now you got change for a dollar in your pocket. Wow, the word of God works. You ask God to forgive you of your sins, and guess what? You're forgiven, and you can walk in that. Because you understand, you can stand under. Oh, wow. And that's part of discipleship. That's how we come together as individuals to study God's word and to sow into somebody's life so they can stand under. Okay, Floyd, give me an example of discipleship. Well, when I went to prison, I've been to prison on purpose as a pastor. Some of y'all just went left. All I could see him in orange. He would look good in orange with a little bling on and stuff. Okay, all right. Stripes, whatever. No. In the inception of this church, we used to be very active in prison ministries. And we used to go to Santa Fe State Prison and, I think it was once a month. And then we used to do Christmas programs and stuff like that. We were associated with Shalom Ministries out of Santa Fe then, but it's out of Albuquerque now. And Don Compton specialized, he believed in Matthew, the 25th chapter, where they asked, did you feed me? I was hungry. Did you clothe me? I was naked. Did you give me water? I was thirsty. Did you visit me in? Oh, he believed in that. And every opportunity that he had, he would give this ministry staff something to do in prison. So I've been to prison. I've gone as a church, I've taught Bible studies on Sundays, and I've gone in and I've done retreats and stuff. I'm talking about discipleship. So I signed up for this ministry called Kairos, and it does three-day retreats in the prison. Three-day retreats mean that for 10 to 12 hours a day, you're locked up with prisoners, people who didn't do it, but they're there anyway. People whom you have seen on TV, but you didn't realize it. People who you have read in the paper, but you didn't know, because this prison ministry specializes in getting the toughest, baddest actors in the prison to come hang out with you. Okay. All right. And I pay to do this. Y'all pray for me later, okay? Lay hands on me. I pay good money to do this. So we have this time, and I'm at the point in life where I don't want to be part of the structure that sets things up. So they pray, and they put people with people. I have the great fortune, the blessing of always being at the table with the baddest, roughest, toughest, and y'all excuse me, looking white guy in the prison. I'm talking billboard. Not just pumped up. I'm talking billboard. With tattoos on them that I can't say in church. Okay. And so I say, well, God, okay, what you gonna do? Because I can't do nothing. How can I disciple somebody like this? And it's not specifically or intentionally a disciple situation. It is love, love, listen, listen. Can you say that? Love, love, listen, listen. And as you can see, it's hard for me to listen. Because I want to say something, but I got to love, love, listen, listen. Okay, they start coming in and stuff, and they're apprehensive about these Jesus folks who's going to love, love, listen, listen. Plus, we have some goodies. We have some goodies. And they've heard we have goodies. We feed them like they were at the house. We even give them a birthday cake. Some of them hadn't had a birthday cake in their whole life. Love, love, listen, listen. We send them letters. Some of them haven't received a letter in their life. Love, love. We're not judgmental, yet we judge. Hello? We're not judgmental, but yet you'll never hear a judgment come out of my mouth. And in the prison, did you know there are some of the best theologians in the whole world? Yeah, they know the scripture. They can go at it with you. But we're not there to do that. We're there to love, love, listen, listen. And I want to present that to you as you think about discipling somebody in the comfort of the outside, that you're there to love, love, and listen, listen. Kind of take some of the burden off. Because you don't have to know every scripture by heart or anything. In fact, if you want to, what I do want, I better find that thing. Where's the phone? Oh, here it is. I'm old. You can Google it. I come from the generation where you had to lick the pages. Hallelujah. You had to lick the pages. You had to find where that thing is. Siri, find me 1 Corinthians. And she'll talk back to you. So it's really not hard. We have the tools to do that. But beside the tools, you got to have the heart to do that. And you know, at 66, I need discipling. Is that scary? At 66, I can be discipled. Because the teacher is always a student. Hello? Y'all get that? That was like understand, stand under, okay? Teacher is always the student. Because when you stop learning, you're dead. You're dead. So this discipling stuff, this opportunity. So I'm in jail again because I've done this more than once. You think, stupid, hot, 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 don't touch it again. I do it as many times as I can. So I'm in jail, and I get the billboard there, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. I don't know if he wants to eat me, or I don't know if I hit him one time, if I'll break something, and I'll just be dead. I don't know what's going on. But God, in your word, you said that you would soften the hardened heart, and whatever comes out of his mouth, you'll straighten out. And if I listen and listen, love, and give him the word of God, not the word of Floyd, but the word of God, something is going to happen. And in 3 days, I see that change. And at the end of this retreat, he's hugging me and crying because of what God did in his life. And it's not because of me. It's because of the love of Christ. And it's because it was intentional that in 3 days he could be transformed by the power of God. Just because I was there. Just because they set me at that table. Just because I saw God move in a way that I didn't ask. It wasn't a TV thing. It wasn't a Google thing. It was a personal thing. It was a mature thing to invest that time to see God move in somebody's life, to let them hear and see the word of God in you. Not perfect. Not by any means. In fact, my testimony was this. They didn't catch me. It wasn't my time. So I came back just to listen, and love. Do you think that you might be able to do that with somebody? Do you think it's a time in your life where you can find some time to either be discipled or to disciple somebody? So that we all can grow to maturity. Because I believe that that's what the church is called to today. Especially with everything that's going around with us. We are pulled on every side. Culturally, convictions, things. And if we would just do this, I'm going to give you a tool. Okay? Straight from the Bible, it's a tool. So the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the great commandment? He said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and? Thank you, Jennifer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and?
Love your neighbor.
Y'all mumbling, or are we speaking in tongues, or what? Okay, I got to make sure you got this, because this is a tool and stuff. And a lot of times when we are discipling somebody and a question comes up, we get like that. We get shy. So I'm going to do this one more time. Y'all say it like you might know it. Or if not, just follow Jennifer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and? See, I know you all can talk. My goodness. You're discipling me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So I'm at home arguing with Loretta. That's stupid. Because she's going to win. Okay. But I have to ask myself, whatever I say out of my mouth, can I add that phrase to it? I'm going to give you an example. You cut me off, you. And that's how I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. What's wrong with that picture? All right? I'm in the line with 10 items or less, but you bring the shopping cart. I can't stand people who do that, unless it's me. And I'm sitting up there, guess you can't count. Well, that's how I love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. Well, I'm at work, and a Republican comes. And they're saying they got on the hat, and they got on the shirt. Make America great. And I look at them, and I say this. It's already great. That's how I love the Lord my God with all my soul, my heart, my strength, and all my other neighbors, not you. That's fair for you. I see that liberal with all them rainbows on. And yeah, don't act like y'all don't do that. Don't act like it's me. And I say something to them. They got a little sign that says, safe place. Every place is safe. And that's how I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. And I just want to propose to you that that might be somebody you want to disciple, or who can disciple you. Because they're made in the image and likeness of God, just like you, and Jesus died for the whole world. Wow. So discipling is not just something that we're going to take for granted, and it's, you know, we go through John, and that's good, we check it off and stuff, because when you begin to spend time with people, they might trust you with some things in their life. They might tell you some things. So I'm back at the retreat and stuff. We are not to ask these people what they have done, although it might be on the front page of the Albuquerque Journal or stuff. We are not, but they will tell us what they've done. Any of you all have something that if somebody told you they did it, you would not like them? I'm a Siri. They not talking back to me. I'm going to have to talk to you. You have somebody or something, if they, you knew somebody did that, you would not like them. It'd be hard to deal with them. Hello? All right. Just making sure I was not the only one. So some of these people would tell me what they've done, and I don't know why, except for love. Oh, wow. Because, you know, I am, you know, confess your sins to God. I don't have on a robe. I'm not in a cage. None of that. No Hail Marys, no nothing. Okay, but they do that. And then guess what I have to do? I have to figure out whether I'm going to be like Jesus and love them anyway, because he first loved me. Am I going to extend that? Because, you know, I'm going to want them to do the confess with your mouth, believe in your heart and stuff, and you shall be saved. But I'm kind of like, maybe you're safe, not saved. No. Listen. Love, because discipleship is intentional. Did you know this? Because when we jump into this discipleship, we always assume that everybody knows everything about the Bible. Have you ever? In fact, we talk like that. I'm talking from 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 20th verse. It's familiar to everybody. You ever heard anything like that? Yeah? Huh? Some of you? None of you? Okay, all right. Well, maybe you don't know it. How about that? Maybe you don't know what you're doing is wrong. Maybe you are interpreting the scripture differently than the context is in. And if I'm discipling you, I can help you do that. And you can also help me understand so I can. We almost done. So I can stand under. Y'all got to remember that because I'm going to do it again, okay? All right? I'm going to help you a little bit. I'm going to do it again. Stand under. Understand so you can stand under. Okay, all right. Listen, the church's confession of faith. Anybody know what that is? The church, the universal church's confession. Do you know where that Protestantism came from, the Catholic Church? Y'all know that? Help me a little bit now. All right, we go. Theology 101. All right, after this, y'all can hang a shingle and marry them and bury them, okay? Okay? All right? Okay? Huh? The Apostles' Creed. Okay. I'm going to go over it. Just in case. This is high church. I should have warned you. Anybody got on a tie or anything like that that you could share with everybody else? All right, sit up straight. This is hot church. All right. The Apostles' Creed. 12 statements from 12. Shirley, y'all give Shirley a donut after this. All right. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the, I'm going to say this, but then I'm going to put a parenthesis on it because I don't want y'all to gasp and stuff and roll all around and throw oil on me, okay? I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and I put in parentheses the universal church, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now you get your little certificate and stuff and we go to dinner. Okay, all right. That is our confession of faith, whether we know it or not. So we can start with simple things like that as we disciple people. I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul and the dudes that hung around with him. And I'd like to put you in that place as a 13th disciple. Saul, y'all know Saul. He's killing Christians, killing people like you. He even got a piece of paper that said he can kill people like you. And I don't know about yesterday, I don't know where you were yesterday, but Saturday, he killed Stephen. It was a big old thing and stuff. And just as a believer, because we're not Christians yet, they don't even call us Christians. They call us the way. The way. You people who are in the way. The way. The way. So Saul goes around and he has this big scene. And Stephen's a martyr. He says, I'm listening and loving and loving. And God, if this is the way it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Rock upside the head. Boom! Paul's on the way back to the crib. And the light hits him. And blinds him. And he has an interesting response to that. Lord, Lord, why are you persecuting me? Wow. So he's blind. And to us, the story should end there. He got what he deserved, right? Christian karma. Because you can't say karma. So you have to put a Christian in front of it. Christian karma. But we're not Christians yet. We're the way. So there he is, lying, side of the road saying, oh, can't see, Lord, why are you persecuting me? And God speaks to this dude, another dude, Ananias. You're Ananias. Paul's killing Christians. He's on the ground. I don't even know if they're looking. We could get rid of this thing right now. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Thank you, God, for answering my prayer. We're going to kill him right now. No, Ananias, what I want you to do is I want you to take him to your house. Whose house? Your house. Whose house? Your house. Ananias, take Saul, to your house. Okay. Take him to the house. He's there 3 days. Ananias, I'm ignoring this call, okay? Ananias, I want you to pray for Paul so he receives his sight. Maybe if I don't pray for Paul, he won't receive his sight. He'll get karma and stuff, and they'll write my name in the Bible. There'll be a chapter called Ananias Got Him. No, you pray for him, and he's going to be healed. He prays for him. The scales fall off his eyes, and then Paul gets up, gives him a tip, gets in an Uber, and goes back and does what he used to do. No, Paul receives his sight, and he wants to go to the church. The church? No, the way. Those people who are in the way. And he wants to tell them that he experienced the risen Savior. You can't make this stuff up. And he does that. He's obedient. It is intentional. Because Ananias was intentional. And as we look at Paul, we're going to find people who were intentional with Paul. Barnabas. Barnabas has to go to then the churches. And he says, well, I need somebody to go with me. I'm going to get, the scripture says, I'm going to get Paul. I don't know about you, but in my life, I have been the person that they wouldn't want to go get. Bad reputation, bad everything. Why is he here? Barnabas goes and gets Paul. And Paul, of course, preaches that message. I was kicked off the donkey. I was blind. I saw Jesus and stuff. And he is the Son of God and stuff. And I don't know about you. What if I better make this personal so we can get out of here. What if? Is that too personal? Can they handle that? Got to talk to myself about that. Yeah, I'm going to do it. What if a gay Muslim who was a Vietnam vet came in here today and accepted Jesus? Would this be the place for him to do that? What if a Black Panther who was cross-dressing, who had killed a bus of nuns, came in here and accepted Jesus, would this be the place? I mean, SWAT is outside. You could hear the helicopters and stuff. And he couldn't make it to the posse shack, so he stopped in here. Would this be the place? Okay. Would a hillbilly with a red wagon full of guns who had 17 wives who just robbed the Smiths, our market, come in here? Would this be the right place for him or her to be saved? which one of you 13 disciples are going to disciple him? All three of them. We got three now. That's kind of the question today. That was the question for Ananias. That was the question for Barnabas. Until Saul became Paul. Somebody had to stand by him and teach him the way of the Lord. Could you do that? Will you do that? Because it's not so hard today. Can we get together with one another or somebody that you know and start discipling and stuff and help them to understand so that they can? Ooh, baby, we've been here a whole day. And okay, after church, we'll be tattooing this statement on everybody who walks through the door so that we can stand under. Let our discipleship, as we begin this, be intentional. Make time for it. And make time for somebody. I was thinking about me discipling people, and it's been intentional, and it's always been something that's been out my realm and stuff. I'm used to kids, you know, let's run around and throw stuff, and here's candy so you can get in the car with your parents, and they can call me bad names because you won't take a nap. They've been up for 3 days. Saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They know their Bible verse, but they won't sit down. I hate you, Pastor Floyd. Let's make our discipleship intentional. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. We thank you because you have a plan for us. You have a plan for your church. You have a plan for your family, for your body. And that includes us spending time with each other and searching the Word of God, learning what you have for us, learning your plan and your purpose, God. Because in this life we'll have trials and tribulations, but we have overcome them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver them out of them all. And as we are one body, and we've expressed that in communion today, cause us to be that when we leave, cause us to disciple at home, cause us to disciple at work, our friends, our family, people that we meet, people that we know who might need to spend time in the Word, God, and cause us to have that burden in our heart that we spend time in the Word today. And as we come back next week and stuff, cause us to have the desire to come Sunday night and learn about sharing our faith. And God, if we don't know, we'll find out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.